Today's Shir Mishnah Biryani is being learned live from a lot. And if you have background, that's because guys are having a good time here at scuba diving. And we're recording here live from a lot. Biryani time. And we so relevant, these halachos, because we're right facing the Red Sea right now, Yam Suf. There's Kriyas Yam Suf here. And we have been learning the halachos that besides allowing a suspended wall, good achis mechitzos, to permit carrying water, the Chachamim also allowed additional leniencies for a person traveling on a boat in order to enable him to draw water from the sea, a karmelis, into the boat, which is a Rishus HaYachid. And we'll be continuing with this. If you hear any background, that's because that's just from the guys having a great time. And we have our Yomi guys over here. And we're moving now. So we're in the middle of Sif Aleph in Siman Shin Nun Hey. And we'll continue from right where we left off yesterday. Said Bahani Mili Kishuhu Betoch Asara Tvachim. Talking about a situation where a person was traveling in a boat, and we saw that he cannot draw water into the boat unless he fixes a board of 4x4 over the water and draws the water through a hole in the board. However, unlike the balcony, which requires a fence around it, here it is not necessary to erect a fence around the board. Rather, we view sides as folding downwards and forming walls, known as Kof HaTzkadim, the Gudach as Mechitzasa. It extends down into the water. This is because the Chachamim treated a boat, the Kula, more leniently. Because on a boat, a person does not have the means that are available to make a home. And the Shulchan Aruch continued, even the requirement of a 4-tefach board applies only if the boat is less than 10 tefachim. And we saw in the Mishnah Brura already yesterday, that is to say that the height of the boat's walls above water level is less than 10 tefachim, while the boat's inner depth is 10 tefachim. In this case, the boat is which is a yachid, and one must therefore fix a 4x4 tefach board to the outside of the boat, as stated in the Shulchan Aruch. And this, we said, must be stressed, because if the boat were less than 10 tefachim deep, even on the inside, it would be a karmelis, and it would thus be permitted to carry from within the boat out to the sea, or from the sea into the boat without any corrective measure. Because carrying from one karmelis to another is permitted if the object is carried for a total of less than 4 amos. So that was Sif Katan Yud in a nutshell. And we just reviewed that. And now we continue on. Aval im dofnei asfina gvoyim asara me'al ha'mayim. Moitzi ziz kol shehu va'oseh bo nekev u'memalei derech sham. Why? Shaharei derech avir mekoyim p'turu v'malei v'sagi v'heker ziz. So he says, if the walls of the boat rise 10 tefachim above the water, one may stick out a slat, a ziz, a slat of any size, make a hole in it, and draw water through it. In this case, he's drawing via, he says, amakom p'tur, right? Sharei derech avir makom p'tur hu. In this case, as we said, he is drawing via makom p'tur airspace, and it is therefore going to be sufficient to have any sort of protrusion just to serve as an indicator, right? The sagi beheker ziz is sufficient to have any sort of protrusion just to serve as an indicator, and that's the ziz, that's the slat. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura. Sif Katan Yud Aleph in the Mishnah Brura. He says, Gvoyim Asora, rise 10 tefachim above the water. It's like in Leimar, V'nimtze kishuhu mimalei. The Shulchan Aruch reasoning is that while drawing the water, he will have to lift the water a bit higher, right? V'nimtze kishuhu mimalei, al karchach tzarech lagbiya k'tzas hamayim, l'mala midafnei asvina, shehi yoyser me'asora. Shulchan Aruch's reasoning is that while drawing the water, you have to lift the water a bit higher than the walls of the boat. Raising thus raising it to a height of more than 10 tefachim, dahavi makom ptur, which is a makom ptur. And therefore, accordingly, in Cain, who metaltal mekarmelis, which is a yachid derech makom ptur, he would be transporting from a karmelis, i.e. the sea, to a shus yachid, i.e. the boat, via a makom ptur, which is the airspace 10 tefachim above the water. Therefore, al Cain, hekilu chachamim, shedai sheyotzi ziz, kol shu chutz lasvina, Bishum Heker Ba'alma. Therefore, the Chachamim allowed, Chazal allowed one to suffice with just extending a slat of any size of the boat out of the boat, merely to serve as a Heker, as an indicator. Heker Ba'alma. Sifkatan Yud Beis. So he makes a hole in it. Achronim Hiskimu De Beziz Ain't Sarich Lasos Neker. Truth is, the Achronim actually, well, consensus of the Achronim is that when a slat is called for, the ziz, you really do not need to make a hole in it. Kevan she'enu ela leheker ba'alma, since it's only for a heker. Its sole purpose, okay, is to serve as an indicator, and therefore one can thus, the lemalos afilu shelo b'kanazis, therefore draw water from places other than the slat, even outside the slat, other than the slat as well. You do not have to go ahead and drill that hole through, even though it sounds like that from Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah here clarifies. Back to the Shulchan Aruch, Umeimav Yachol Lishpoch al Dafne Asvina, Vehein Yordim Liyam. The Kevin Dul Zarak Lahed Yalayam, Ela Mikocho Heimbayim, Kocho Bekarmelis Logazrus. This is a new thing. He's saying here that also a person can pour his water on the walls of the boat and let it run down into the sea. This is because he's not throwing it directly into the sea. It is the ripple effect, it is the Kocho of his action that brings it to the sea. And transporting by means of kocho, of this ripple effect, was not prohibited, was not assered in a karmelis. Oh, no. And Ramoy here says, Ayin lekamon sof simon shin nun zayin. He says, see below at the end of shin nun zayin. He's referencing something. We'll see if Mr. Brewer is going to spell out what it's talking about. But first, let's see sifkat ben gimel. So one can go ahead and pour this halacha of pouring his water on the walls of the boat and let it run down. So the lomar the ein mechuya l'shpoch shovchav dainu mei rechitzas koyseis ukaroyis ukai gavna, saying that a person does not need to pour his wastewater, meaning like the water with which he washed his cups and plate or other such things, through this like betocha daf shel arba al arba shasol malos amayim derech bo. He doesn't have to put it through the 4x4 tefach board that he made for drawing water. Rather, what could he do? What is he allowed to do? El yachol l'shpoch al dafne, etc. Rather, he may pour it on the walls right of a boat and let it run down into the sea. And he says with this, kula, there's no difference whether the wall of the boat rises 10 tefachim above water level or not. In fact, he says, even if he does not, he says, in fact, even if he does not have the especially designated 4x4 tefach board, and even if he did not make any protrusion at all, still mutter to pour wastewater on the boat's wall. Why? Since only the kocho, the ripple effect of his action, brings the water to the karmelis. So what's basically going on here is that he said there's no difference regarding the kula of pouring water by the walls, but the methods by which it is permitted do in fact vary depending on the height of the walls. If the walls rise more than 10 tefachim above the water, water can be poured on the vertical outer side of the walls at higher than 10 tefachim from the sea. For that part of the walls, as we have been explaining, is a makom ptur. If the walls rise less than 10 tefachim from the sea, the vertical outer side of the wall is within karmelis airspace. Therefore, accordingly, it is usher to pour there from within the boat, since the boat is a rishos hayachid. Rather, what should he do? He has to pour the water on the top horizontal surface of the wall. He has to pour it on the top horizontal surface of the walls, which is part of the Rishus HaYachid. We saw in Shin Mem Hei Sif Gimel. And let it run from there down into the sea. Now, it's interesting, the Be'er Halacha gets into the issue of whether this would be a permissible method of pouring things out of a house as well. Ayin Shum, not for us today. We move on here Sif Katan Yudalit Al Dafne on the walls. What's the story with on the walls? Dim Shofech Ktsas Rachoik Minat Dofen Havizorek Mishle Yochel the Carmelis Mamish. Because if he were to throw it even slightly beyond the walls, he would then be throwing from Shle Yochel to a Carmelis. Whereas when he throws it on the walls, it reaches the Carmelis indirectly by the Koacho, by the ripple effect of his action. Once again, however, this is only if the wall does not rise 10 tefachim above the water level. If it were, he says, if it were 10 tefachim high and he would not wish to pour the wastewater on the wall, for example, if it is foul and the odor would enter the boat, right? It's gonna reek. Right? In other words, it was 10 tefachim high, and he doesn't wish to pour the wastewater on the wall because it reeks, and the odor is going to enter the boat. So he would be therefore prefer to pour it beyond the wall, and in that case, it is going to be permitted if it were 10 tefachim high. But that's provided that he has to make at least some protrusion as an indicator. Right? Tes vav, layam, into the sea. Right? Layam, it goes into the sea. Similarly, a person can place bones or peels on top of the thickness of the wall and let them fall into the sea. What's the emphasis here in the Mishnah Berurah? It seems that he wants to stress that solids such as bones or peels can be placed only on top of the walls. He says on their top, horizontal surface. Whereas water may be poured even on the outside of the walls at more than 10 tefachim above the water. This is seemingly because water reaches the sea indirectly even when thrown on the vertical outer side of the walls. The water catches on the wall for a moment and then only afterwards begins to run down. Therefore, it's as if his indirect action is terminated once the water hits the wall and when it subsequently runs down to the sea below, which is the Carmelis. So it's considered a ripple effect of his action. Conversely, like when it's solids thrown on at the outer side of the walls, so that there it bounces off and continues down to the sea as a direct result of his action, seemingly. And it therefore cannot be allowed by virtue of just being a kocho, this ripple effect. So the solids must be placed on the top surface of the wall when they subsequently fall from there, so then it will indeed be a kocho, the ripple effect. That's what I think the issue here is when the Mishnah Berurah says on top of the thickness of the wall, right? Al rosh hadofen ba'avyo, v'hei nofen liyam. Sip katon tes zayin. The Ramah refers to sof simon shin and zayin coming up. Sham kasa de lo b'chol karmel is kocho mutter ayin shom. Since there, he writes that ripple effect kocho transportation is not allowed in every karmelis, and we'll see there what he's talking about. Continuing on in the Ramah now. Shdei sfinos zu eitzel zu, osu l'talto mizu l'zu, ela imken kshuro zdo b'zo, o ela imken hen gvoim min amayim asara. So here points out the Ramah that if there are two boats standing side by side, it's going to be usu to carry from one to the other unless they're tied together, or if the walls... Or if the walls of both boats rise more than 10 tefachim above the water. And if they belong to two people, they must, of course, have an Eruv and Eruv Chatzeres together. Like any time you take from two different Rishuyos owned by different people, you need an Eruv Chatzeros. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Tes Yud Zayin, Ella in King Shuros. Unless they are tied, what's going on here? He says, if they're not tied together, although they abut one another, they're liable to drift apart. But if this happens, there's going to be a carmelis between them, and we're concerned. And we're concerned, like we've seen in the past, that the object being transferred from one to the other may fall down in between, and one will come to carry it from the Carmelis into the Rishus HaYachid. Now again, although a person can throw an object from one house to another, even via Rishus HaRabim, if both houses are of equal height, items thrown from one boat to another, they're more likely to fall, so even if at the same height, it's going to be a problem. This is Tosfos in Shabbos, Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Dibur HaMaskil Pshita, and according to this reasoning here in the Mishnah Brura, it is difficult to understand why the Ramah states presently that if both boats rise more than 10 tefachim above the water, it's mutter. So how does the fact that the object passes through Makom Ptur airspace solve the concern that it may fall to the Carmelis below? So the Achronim, the Chasam Ish discusses this. Obviously, that's for Ian Shear, but I'm sure you thought about this question. And we've had this, we should have asked this question a couple other times before, but that's the nature of the halacha. Again, it needs iyun. Why it should make a difference. Okay? We continue on in the Mishnah Brura. Now he says this then. This is very important. He says, based on this reason, based on this reason, it is also to transport from one to the other, even if both boats belong to the same person. However, right, that's, you know, in other words, this doesn't, it's going to be usher, because the issue has nothing to do with the two people. The two people has to do with the fact that you need an Erev Chatzeros. But this usher, based on this reasoning, should be there, one person owning both boats, or two people. So he says, V'yesh matirin, but there are those, some poskim, who do allow, Imeim Shal Adam Echad, who do allow transferring from one to the other if they belong to the same person, reasoning that we are not concerned the object may fall. The rak b'sheheim shel shnei bnei adam asurim kisheinan kshur zu b'zu. It says only when they belong to two people, according to his opinion, is carrying usher while they're not tied together. Why? The kevach asurim lanud ulisrachei kzu mizu lo mahani eruv sheyaru b'neihan. Here's the insight. Because since they are liable to move about and drift apart, the Eruv joining them together is ineffective. Meaning, in order for two Rishuyos to join in an Eruv, there must be easy accessibility from one to the other. Therefore, the fact that the two boats are susceptible and liable to drift apart, in which case they would not be easily accessible to each other, so that's going to render the Eruv invalid. You're going to see these halachas later on in Shinayin Beis, Sip Tezayin. It's going to be rendered invalid even while they are still next to each other, because the accessibility upon which the Eruv is based must be of a permanent nature. Okay? You should check it out there, Shinayin Beis, Sif Ches, Sif Katon, Samech Vav, and Samech Zayin. And he says now, Isa B'Gemara, Tekshuros Chashu Afil Al Yedei Chut. The Gemara points out that the boats can be tied together even with a string, provided the string is strong enough to keep them from drifting apart. Sif katan yud ches, together, zu bezu. Right? Because if the two boats standing side by side, it's also to carry them from one to the other unless they're tied together. And there must not be, this is very important, there must not be a space of four tefachim between them. Because if there are four tefachim between them, the area in between remains a karmel. This is pointed out in the Sharat Tzion. And therefore the problem has not been solved according to either of the opinions cited above. According to the first opinion, transporting from one to the other would still be over a karmelis, even though they're tied together. And according to the second opinion, once they are four tefachim away from each other, they're too far apart to be able to form a joint eruv. Again, see later on, Shin Ayin Beis Sif Tes Zayin. Sif Katan Yud Tes, 10 tefachim above the water, meaning that if the walls of both boats rise more than 10 tefachim above the water, then they do not need to be tied together. The az mutter afilu einam kshuros. In this case, right, it's going to be mutter even if they're not tied together. Why? This is because the person will be carrying from a rishus ayachid to another rishus ayachid via a makom ptur airspace. And even though passing the afal gav, the moshit is important. Even though moshit, passing objects from one rishus ayachid to another, right? Moshit aser b'diyuta achas afilu l'mala me'asara. Even though passing objects from one rishus ayachid to another at even higher than 10 tvachim is going to be usher if they're both situated in one line. B'diyuta achas. K'moshikasov b'simen shin nam zayin. Hacha ayri b'shtei diyotos zeh kineged zeh. Here, we're talking... Right, that this allowance here is going to pertain to a case where they're in two different lines traveling side by side, as opposed to one in front of the other. If they're one in front of the other, then in that case, the two would be considered as being in one line. When are they considered being in one line? When one boat is in front of the other. But if they're side by side, this is very important. If they're side by side, it's not considered to be as being in one line. And therefore, in this case, passing even under Tzvan Tzvachim is only Aser Midrabanan, and therefore passing at a higher, if it's higher than that, it's then Tzvan Tzvachim is going to be totally permissible, to be permitted to pass things from one Rishus HaYachid to another over a Carmelis at a height of Tzvan Tzvachim. If the two Rishus HaYachid are in two separate rows, it is Aser Midrabanan to do so over Rishus HaRabim, even if the two are in separate rows, and even at a height of more than 10 tefachim. We've seen this before. Check out as well the Sharat Tzion, Shin Mem Ches, Sif Katan Aleph, Sharat Tzion there. And he continues on that another possible explanation, the Ayri B'Zoyrek, is that only throwing from one boat to the other is allowed, because the issue that we're talking about only applies to passing over a Carmelis, not carrying or not throwing. It's the Hoshata that is Aser. Passing. Finally, Sif Katan Chaf, Utsrichim Le Arev. This applies, when he's talking about Tsrichim Le Arev here, you need an Erev Chatzer between two boats. He says, Koi, this applies Gamala Heter to Gvoim Asara Afkish Einam Kshuros. This applies also to the statement made above that at the 10th Tzvachim high, it is mutter to carry from one to the other, even if they are not tied together. So, thus we see that even when they are not tied together, an Erev would permit transporting from one to the other. However, the Sefer Beis Meir Cholek Alzeh, the Beis Meir argues on this, that in this case, the Daito, because she'enam shuros, mekevan she'omdim l'spared, af imhem gvoim asara, imhem shal shnei b'nei adam asurim betiltum mizel azeh, ve'ein Erev moil bahem. Beis Meir argues as follows, that in this case, an Eruv would not be effective to allow carrying from one to the other. He holds that if they are not tied together and they are owned by two people, one may not carry from one to the other, even if they are more than 10 tefachim high. The Eruv is ineffective. Why? Because they are, as we said a couple of times, most likely to drift apart.